Good morning.
Good morning
and welcome to worship this morning. I welcome all and any visitors in Jesus' precious name. There's a few intimations to go through. Tea and coffee. Sorry, that's me. I'll try and put it in my back pocket again. There's tea and coffee after the worship. It's time, just a wee bit of time to have for speaking together, a bit of fellowship. So please do join everyone in the hall at the back here, just for that. I don't know if that's me. I'm going to put this down now. Leave well alone. There's a Kirk Session meeting on the 6th of September at 7 p.m. in the small hall. We had the joint meeting on Wednesday night past there, and it was a time for the two sessions just to be together and to share together. And I did a presentation of what it looked like for me for the way forward. So that's work that will be going on. And looking at, and there'll be more for the congregations as we move through that. So that's the Kirk Session. Livingston Players today at 1:30, the junior cast rehearsals, and adult rehearsals begin tomorrow at 7:30. Badminton Club resumes Tuesday 5th of September at 7:30. Newcomers are always welcomed. I'm busy that night. Retiring offering, is that for next week? Yes, next week's worship, which will go towards the cost of Message Church on the 30th of September. So there's a wee front for Message Church on the 30th of September as well. So I've got one more just handed to me down the road this morning. The lunch, soup lunch get together with the Chance to Thrive group down at Ardeer. Meets on 11:30 to 2 p.m. on the 6th of September. All are welcome. It's time to enjoy some soup, sandwiches, home baking, tea, coffee, and a get together, just with others in the community. If you're passing, if you're not passing, you're very welcome just to come in. The psalmist writes, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations." And we worship together. Father, I place into your hands the things that I cannot do.
To your hands.
let's join our hearts and our minds together in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, at times it feels as if we're in a fragile, vulnerable place. But by your Spirit, reassure us of your love and grace, and that you hold us in the palm of your hand, where we're safe and saved. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. One of the things I was asking this morning about an idea was, who is your famous celebrity that you like to follow? So there's a question. Is this on? Yes, I the battery's in.
It's pushed in.
There we go. Look at that. Technology. That'll be all the buzzing and stuff. Who's your favourite celebrity? Who's the person you looked in and follow? Is there someone? A singer or?
Ed Sheeran.
There we go. Anyone else? Anyone can answer. I got answers of Donny Osmond and Cliff Richard this morning. So, and yes, they're still around. Rod Stewart. Yeah, of course. You know, I was thinking this in a moment over the last couple of days that who would I say? And I got to a list. I'm a bit ashamed for this one, but Giant Haystacks. I see you all know. You'll not know, but everyone else knows. There was Big Daddy as well. And Mark Rollerball Rocco. Mick McManus. And of course, the greatest out of all these was the guy who held the world lightweight champion belt for many, many years and retired as the champion. And they had a competition after he retired, and Johnny Saint won it. But the wrestler who retired as the champion was George Kidd, a famous Dundonian. I have to get that in. Famous Dundonian and a publican in Dundee. But, you know, so these are the kind of people when I really start thinking about it, and when I remembered how I began to follow them. How many people buy the posters? I would go to the wrestling in the Caird Hall in Dundee. I think it was a Thursday night. And you could buy these posters. You know, I had the top event and all the wrestlers and their poses and everything. And I splattered them across my bedroom wall. I even told my mum she wasn't getting to redecorate the bedroom, so it meant taking off the posters. I think she was okay with that. But we'd go to the wrestler. It was 28 pence to get in. I remember it was 28 pence to get in. And I would watch all these guys. And I would follow them. And of course, the other bit to that just come to my head was World of Sport, 4 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. See, there's folk just, oh, she, there's folk round here. Go, that's right, yes. I sat in my granny's house in Edinburgh watching the wrestling. I only got away with it because she watched it too. So that was the kind of thing, but we do that when we get involved with someone that we're following, someone can be a singer or whoever it is, we tend to start buying some of the posters, some of the stuff, and having their stuff, whether it's their records or, and I'm able to say records because vinyl's coming back. So I'm happy to say records. But we buy all these things and we follow them. And yet, when we think about who Jesus is for us, then, you know, we maybe don't take that same tack. And one of the things we're trying to do, I'm trying to talk about discipleship. And discipleship's for everybody, no matter your age. Discipleship, following Christ is for everyone. And one of the things that we want to do is to actually encourage everyone to open a Bible and to read daily from their Bible. And whether that's we get notes or we do something to ensure that, but actually for each one of us, maybe we need to have different Bibles to read from, but we can all read a bit, because out of the Bible we get God's character, who he is, what he has done for us. Yeah, there's all these stories we can learn, but actually to understand God. And later on, as we look at what we're doing with the psalm, then we look again about God holding us in his love. And part of that's also about remembering in prayer that we can pray as we've sung. We can pray and just hand over everything to God. The things that we can't do, the friends and family, the people that we love, and the people that we struggle to love, we can hand that all over to God, knowing that he'll take all that from us and work it through. Let's just take a moment to pray now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your ways. We thank you for your word to us. And Lord, as we worship you and praise you, we thank you that you would enable us to see more of you and know more of you. May your Spirit encourage us to remember just to read your word bit by bit. And hear us now as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And we sing together the next song. It's going to be on CD. So the first verse will be sung through, and then we'll start the CD again. It's Jesus Put This Song Into Our Hearts. Maybe know it, but we'll go through by the CD. Start it again. Stand though, it's fine.
Jesus. Ah, quite right. Give yourself a clap. I know I've lost my place. We're going to pray together. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. First and last, before and behind, east and west, God of all that is and all that shall ever be, we cannot properly tell of your greatness. God of this present moment in our time, yet holding all our time before you in ways which are beyond us to grasp, we gladly come to worship. God in Jesus, walking dusty roads, washing tired feet, feeding hungry minds and not forgetting empty stomachs, we come looking to be fed, to be nourished, to be made strong, to wonder, to worship and to love, that we may all grow in gifts and grace and offer you glory through Christ. And Heavenly Father, we come to confess to you that we too often opt for the short term and have neither the vision nor patience to work for those things which shall last. That we doubt your presence and we drown in anxiety and we walk with impunity down roads leading nowhere. That we recoil from struggle, thinking comfort and ease are right. And that we close our ears to your call to be holy. We do not presume upon your patience, but trust in your constant faith, your faithfulness, your forgiveness, your renewing grace that you give us through Christ. And so as we know ourselves forgiven and set free, nurture in us by your Holy Spirit such growth as brings you honour. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And we sing together again, it's Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, let's worship him. Johnny? All right.
Service flight in deeper reverence, praise in deeper reverence, praise. Thank you.
try and get some sense out of me. As we approach our reading, it's Psalm 125. It's the next one on the list of songs of ascent, and that these songs that believe that the people sang as they went to worship. But we're looking at that through discipleship and what it means to be a disciple, and looking at these psalms. So Psalm 125. Anna's going to read for us.
Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which can never be shaken, never be moved. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people now and forever. The wicked will not always rule over the land of the righteous. If they did, the righteous themselves might do evil. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who obey your commands. But when you punish the wicked, punish also those who abandon your ways. Peace be with Israel.
Amen. Thank you. I was at a conference yesterday, just want to share a wee bit, because this morning the person who read had a baby in her arms, and she stood at the lectern and read. A deeply moving sight to see a child so involved in the worship of the congregation. The child didn't speak, but the child was there. And again, it was nice to see a young person being involved in the worship, and I think that's important. This conference I was at yesterday, and I need to kind of say I'm sorry that when I booked it, I hadn't thought deeply enough to share with likes of yourself, just to let you be there, and some of the others who are involved with the children's church down the road. But it was about. It was a community faith conference from Mission Discipleship Council, looking at the place of children. There's a new Learn booklet coming out from the church on children, and we will buy copies of that for folk to look at. And seriously, there's questions in that we need to consider. And there's questions of the involvement in children and young people in our worship. Not just at this section where normally we do something and the children go out, but actually a continual active involvement of children to be involved in the life of the church. And one of the questions that was being asked as well is how do you make disciples of children? We can teach them stories, but how do we make them, how do we encourage them to be disciples? And that's something we need to look at as we move forward, because some people will say the children, the young people, are the church of the future. I've got to tell you, that's not the case. They're the church of now, and we need to look at how we include them for the sake, not just for the sake of the church, but for their sake, for God's sake, and for the sake of the future of the church. We need to know and need to work, and we need to tackle some really hard questions that some of us aren't going to like any of the answers. And some of the answers, not being liked, include me. I have to get over myself in one or two areas. But these are things that we need to look at and need to share. But it's nice to see, and it's nice actually for me, having come back from this conference, to find down the road that there's a child being held while the lesson's been read, and here we've had the scripture read by a young person. So thank you for all organising that, but thank God for His Holy Spirit that He works through us, despite us. Let's pray again. And just a few points. We have a prayer tree, the prayers that are there. We give thanks and things of joy for God's faithfulness. That's the same yesterday, today and tomorrow. In the Crossreach Prayer Circle, it's the Threshold Support Services in Hamilton, and they provide support for those with learning disability and those on the autistic spectrum across Lanarkshire. On the Presbytery Prayer Cycle at Saltcoats North and the Reverend Alec Noble. But from last week, and following a discussion I had down the road, from last week it was for retired ministers. And so just to take the opportunity, let's remember particularly David Hebbington as we pray this morning for retired ministers and the work that he's been involved in here over the years. Our things of concern, I don't know if the people of Texas would be happy that Hurricane Harvey has been downlisted to Tropical Storm Harvey. It has, but it's still caused an awful lot of disruption. And so we need to pray for the people who are suffering that at the moment. And we remember, too, the level of terrorist attacks we've seen over the weeks, and we pray for God's peace to be throughout the world. So let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. God of all people and places, of all times and stories, we open our hearts to your world and all its people. Bring our hopes and our fears and ready to be transformed in our thoughts and our actions. God of love, for all those divided from others by political, social, or historical barriers, we pray. And Father, we pray too for all those whose lives are deemed worthless because of their gender or their caste or their race, for any whose voice is not heard because of their poverty or their lifestyle or their history. We pray for a world and for those people whose hopes are rejected because of their sexuality or their disability or their identity. Pray for a new understanding that would help us all to reach out to those we do not know, that all would know the fullness of life. God of wisdom, we pray for your church in all its diversity, that we might be one body, recognizing the gifts of all our members, that we might find unity in the shared questions of interpretation, that we might forgive and be forgiven as we learn and grow together. We pray for one church under the authority of our one head, you, our Lord and friend. God of compassion, we pray for all who need to know your care, where the events and struggles of life pose difficult questions, where the loss of life, health or job bring pain, where abuse or addiction leave people feeling powerless. We pray that we would all know your presence, your healing and your liberating touch. God of all, we open our hearts to your world and all its people in silence, bring our particular concerns and dreams and ready to be transformed in our thoughts and our actions. Heavenly Father, hear these, our prayers, through Jesus Christ, our friend, our Saviour, your Son. Amen. And we worship again. Here is love vast as the ocean.
Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that we can share together, the word that we can sing together, your word, your living word that lives in us. And by your Spirit this morning, present with us now, open us to your word and to your ways. In Jesus' precious name, amen. One of the books that quite influenced me in my recent time or early days as a Christian was this book here by David Watson, Fear No Evil. David was an evangelist, a preacher. He was a minister within the Church of England. And he had a healing ministry, had a ministry, a strong international ministry, used by God to share God's word around many places. And he was diagnosed with cancer and died in 1984. But this book outlines that story of his cancer and his life in cancer and his relationship with God. And it says in the epilogue, on January the 8th, he preached at St. Michael's, Chester Square, from Jude verses 20 to 25. And he said, "The last couple of months have seen some pretty sweeping changes in my own life. I've had to cancel all my engagements outside London, and after travelling for many years, I would have found that very difficult if it had not been for God so clearly calling me back to this love relationship with him. Even death itself is not a threat." David also wrote somewhere that when he was talking and praying about his cancer, and he had prayed, you know, "Well, why me, God?" And after a while he got to, "Why not me, God?" And in his book too, he speaks about just succumbing to the will of God and focusing on God. And that's a testimony of somebody who would have had great highs with God, who'd preaching, who'd been led by God across the world, and he would have seen lows as well. And I think each one of us can look at our own lives and know there's highs and lows. You know, my own kind of testimony is that when I became Christian, I kind of thought that life would be quite perfect, that I would have a blessed life, free from any anxiety or troubles. I had hair then. But you know, I've got a blessed life. I have to tell you that. I have a blessed wife. And it's not without its difficulties. It's not without anxiety. But what's important is what, as David Watson spoke about, is what's behind all that? Who's behind all that? Because for us, fear can stifle love. Fear can stifle discipleship. And what the psalmist shows is that we are securely surrounded by God's love. And when we look at God's word and we see what's been written here, and we know, as you watch the life of the Israelites, you see this kind of journey with God. It almost appears at times for them a love-hate relationship, where there's times when they love God and there's times they want to just to be away from him completely, whereas God just wants to love them and love them. You know, when they were led out of exile, out of captivity, towards the promised land, and they were following God who was in a cloud, they were following him, how close can you be?
And yet when Moses went up the mountain, they wanted and did make a golden calf to worship, to be their God. They also at times almost followed other people into captivity, into a life of oppression. These people didn't focus completely continually on God, but had that movement and relationship. But the psalmist shows, in Psalm 125, shows that despite all they were doing, they were securely surrounded by God's love. And when we look at the psalm itself, in the opening verses, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, who cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. Right, so, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, can never be shaken, a solid, solid mountain, which is part of the mountains that surround Jerusalem. And what the psalmist is trying to do is build up this picture for us. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. As the mountains surround Jerusalem. So we have this picture then. In the middle, on a mountain, on a hill, is Jerusalem. And it runs north and south. The north top piece is where the temple is. It's surrounded by a wall, and going down to the valley on the west, it's the Kidron Valley, goes down to a gate. There's a valley on the left, on the east side, central, and on the mountains over to the west is the Mount of Olives. So if you're standing at the top of the Mount of Olives, you'd be looking over the valley to Jerusalem. And so to get to Jerusalem, you have to descend from the Mount of Olives and ascend into Jerusalem. So it's surrounded by hills. It's secure. And what the psalmist is trying to say is this fortress has been built by someone else. This has been built by God for the people, these mountains and valleys, all there. And so Jerusalem's like that place, surrounded and secured. But let's go back to that kind of sawtoothed history that the Israelites had. Despite the certainty that's been written into this psalm of who God is and what God has done for them, despite that certainty, there were times when the people became anxious, or they were fearful, or they felt abandoned. Those times when Moses went up the hill, the mountain, to be with God, and they created that golden calf. There was times when they were tempted away by other races, and they went with them. They looked elsewhere. They walked from God. You know, it's not just that they went away from God, but God warned them. God would send messengers to say to them, get yourself sorted out. That's the story of Jonah. Jonah called by God to go to Nineveh to tell them that if they didn't change their ways, God was going to destroy them. And there was a time limit on that. And of course, Jonah didn't want to do that because he didn't like the folk in Nineveh. And he knew fine that when he told them what God had said, they would change and God wouldn't destroy them. And that's not what Jonah wanted. And so he headed off in another direction. So that whole story is about God redirecting Jonah to deliver the message in Nineveh. And of course, Jonah did. And the people listened. And they changed and were saved. But that whole process there that have moved, and people, the people have moved, they've gone into captivity, they've come out of captivity, they've called on God, they've left God, they've called on Him again. That kind of sawtooth history. We kind of have the same sort of thing. And they've known pain and suffering. It's another area that the anxiety and the fears come from, pain and suffering. They've known that in their lives. They were in captivity. They knew what that meant. They've had to deal with sickness and death. And they were human people. They would wonder when things would happen to them, when the axe would fall on them. And this is what the psalmist is trying to say, that despite all that, they're securely surrounded by God's love. Trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, who cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people, both now and forevermore. And the thing is that Eugene Peterson refers to this as a non-negotiable contract. I kind of think it more of a covenant. Contract is where there's, if you do this, I'll do that. Clauses and penalties. But covenant, and God's covenant is all set in the fact that God has done everything for the people. So God has done everything for the Israelites. There are His chosen people. And He made them secure, and He loves them. And He calls them, and He goes to them, and He calls them back. And when they go away, He looks for them. This is all part of that covenant. He surrounds them with His love and His care. He is their ever-present refuge and shelter. He is their strength. But He constantly seeks them when they go away. And the psalmist shows us that God in that relationship securely surrounds them with His love. But it's in this psalm too that we need to look and say, where can we survey the wondrous cross? Where can we see the cross? You know, because somebody else has built the fortress. God has done the whole thing for us. We still live these sawtoothed histories. There's still times when we're up and other times that we're down. But that covenant, God has done everything for us. He's given us Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. And He's given Jesus because He loves us. We are His created people. We are His chosen people. And He calls on us. And He's given us Jesus. And Jesus had to die for us, to go to the cross for us. He had to rise again and ascend to be with the Father so that we can know forgiveness, so that death means nothing for us, so we can have eternal life. That covenant has been created by God for us. And we can live in that covenant knowing that we have been securely surrounded by God's love. That picture of being held in the middle and surrounded by mountains. We are held in the middle of God's palms. And you know, there's that point where the phrase backslider comes in. What happens if we slide away? Can we ever, and this is a question I had when I first became Christian, can we ever be denied God's salvation. Once we've accepted God's salvation, is there a point where we can be unsaved? And actually, there is a point where that can happen. But it's only through our own deliberate, determined, sustained actions. If we continually reject God, having known Him, if we continually reject Him, He will at some point let us go. He has done that before. But even in letting us go, He has still put that covenant together for us, and He will relentlessly seek us. Where's the cross in all this? Right in the middle, holding us. We're held by God. We're surrounded by His love. And for me, in discipleship, this security, this certainty is our starting point, our core point of how we follow Christ, how we seek to love God in our discipleship. At the very centre, the very core of all this is this non-negotiable covenant made by God, where He says to each one of us, I love you, and for you I have given my Son. And He surrounds us, and He holds us in the palm of His hands. And our discipleship is about getting to know more and more about what that means for each one of us, and who God is for each one of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, for You who surrounds us with Your love, who holds us in the palms of Your hands, who continually seeks us. May we get to know more about that loving relationship. We get to know more about You and Your love for us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And we continue with our offering. Let's pray. Father, as we present this, a token of all that You've given to us, We give you thanks and praise, glory and honour. Present these tokens to you for the building up of your kingdom. And we present our very selves and pray, Lord, that you would use us. The skills that you've given us, the calling that you've given us, and that certainty of your love, that we, Lord God, would follow you and see your kingdom built in this place. Amen. All glory, Lord, and honour, we sing again. Keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you, now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore.